Can you see yourself? Excitement, you know, people were singing, Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the son of David. Hosanna. The next few services, I'd like to speak on the theme called The Week That Changed the Entire World. The Week That Changed the World. I think today's passage is a very familiar passage to each and every one of us. Many of us have read it numerous times, or we have attended numerous Palm Sunday services. Very familiar, because this event is also marked in the Gospels. You know, Matthew speaks about it, Mark speaks about it, Luke speaks about it, and even John speaks about it. It's very interesting, you know, out of the 89 chapters in the New Testament, you know, 30 chapters are given to the last week of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we see the importance. We see how important it is. At times, you know, this particular passage will be very familiar to us. But I think it's important to ask ourselves, you know, what is the significance of this particular passage? I want to pray and then we will look at God's Word. Father, we thank you for bringing us together, God, as your people to worship you, to know you, O God, and also, Lord, we pray that we will not lose the significance of this wonderful day, Father. We want to know who Jesus is and the things of God that he can do in our lives. Help us, Lord, to know you, to draw close to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I believe many of us, you know, when you were growing up, you'd have gone with your parents for some kind of carnival, right, or festivals. Many a times we drag our kids and say, you know, there's something that's happening. Right, let's go. Let's have fun. You know? There's a lot of food there. There are so many rides over there. I remember, you know, my wife and I would used to bring our kids when they were young, and they're still young. We'll bring them for carnivals, and in Singapore we call the night market. Now, unlike the prices here, the prices are much more cheaper there. So a lot of activities happen till midnight. You'll see kids running around playing a lot of various types of games. Then you'll see, you know, streets full of different kinds of food. They, you know, in front of you, they will just prepare the food. So it almost happens every weekend. People look forward, right, for the night market to happen, because it's a time that, you know, the entire community comes along. It happens in almost in every estate in Singapore. People come around to enjoy that wonderful time. It's great, you know. It's a time to be wonderful, to be there. I was just thinking, you know, on this particular day, on this Palm Sunday, just imagine the crowd, the excitement. People are just getting ready for the Passover. In a few days' time, they will have a wonderful celebration. They will remember that God has saved the Israelites from slavery. It's a time of remembrance. It's a time of rejoicing. It's a time of rejoicing of God's faithfulness. Can you imagine kids running around and saying, you know, I want this candy. I want to go on this ride. You know, there are donkeys there. I want to go on a donkey ride. And parents are, you know, buying so many things. And, you know, some of the parents are just trying to make sure they are choosing the right lamb for the Passover. So much of activities, so much of joy, so much of celebration, and so much of noise. It's happening. As I was trying to, you know, put myself in this particular situation, just imagining. And imagining at the same time, you know, having a kid with me. Imagine your child comes and asks you, Dad, you know, it's so wonderful to be here. It's so fun. Every year we are here, you know, just enjoying. And then suddenly the child realizes there's another noise that's coming from that part of the place. And the child sees this man, right, on a donkey. People are, you know, throwing their garments, the outer garments, and some of them are just spreading a palm leaves, and the child runs. The dad says, you know, let me follow you. And the child is asking, what's happening? Who is this man? Who is this man on this donkey? And why are people throwing palm leaves or even waving palm leaves, throwing some of their garments? And do we not do this, you know, in our synagogue where we say, Hosanna, this passage that we read? You know, why are they reading this passage? Why are they singing this passage? Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. The child is asking the dad, no, what's happening? Who is this man? I was just wondering, you know, how the father would have actually reacted. But the child say, you know, dad, can we be part of this wonderful celebration? I do not know how the dad would have actually answered the child. The reason I say this, because when you look at the next word, you know, what was happening? At first, his disciples did not understand this. Can you imagine? There was a lot of celebration that was happening. They were rejoicing, right? Palm leaves. People were just screaming on top of their voice, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. But at first, the disciples who were with Jesus, who followed him, who knew his teachings pretty well, who saw the things that Jesus did not understand. How would that father explain this to the child? Probably the father would have said, why don't we go back home and I'll talk to you and I'll try to explain to you. I know many of us have kids, you will try to forget, you will try to put them to bed, but they will still ask you the same question, you know, you need to answer me. So the son goes back or the child goes back home. The dad will say, you know, it's time for bed. But the child says, no, I need to ask. Who is that man who was riding on the donkey? It's so fun. I've not seen such a scene before. Who is he? Why are they singing the Passover Psalms to him? I think it's important for us to go back, and we don't want to leave this place without understanding, like the disciples. Yes, we know, but it's good for us to be reminded again. I believe the child's questions are actually, who is this king? Unusual. Usually, conquering king will come on a horse, right? And if you look at the Old Testament, they started by coming on donkeys, but later, you know, they had a lot of horses. And so a conquering king will always come in horse with chariots around. And so the child will ask, who is this king? Where is his kingdom? I thought there's another guy sitting on the throne. Is he going to be the next king? And then I believe every child will ask this, can we be part of that wonderful celebration? Can we also join that crowd? Can we be part of this kingdom too? Just trying to imagine how the father would have actually explained. The father would have started by saying, you know, a long time ago, when our people, you know, God was our king. And so what happened, you know, we told God, you know, we want to be like any other nation. They had kings. So we want to have kings. We want kings who can rule us. And so God gave Saul, a handsome man. And then came David. And then came Solomon. And then the child would stop and say, you know, I'm not interested about this Saul, David, and Solomon. I'm just interested about this man whom I saw today at the festival, at the carnival. Now, who is this man? I'm not concerned about David, Solomon, or even Saul. Who is this man? I believe the father would have started by saying that Jesus is a different king altogether. Because David was different, Solomon was different, but Jesus is a different king altogether. Because his life was different. His priorities were different. Many of us would start by saying, you know, we don't like kings. Many of our, you know, the countries, if you realize they have been colonized by certain authorities, even myself, I don't like kings because they colonized many. Many times, you know, when you hear the word king or you hear about kingdom, you know, such memories come to your mind. You know, we think it's not good because they want taxes from you. They want you to be under their control. They treat you as subjects. That's the first image that comes to our mind when we think about a king. The second image that comes to our mind about king is, you know, someone who's a figurehead, just sitting, right? No authority, just a historical office and no real power. And so the father is trying to explain to the son by saying, you know, Jesus is a different king altogether. And so the child will say, what is so different about this man? What is so different about this man? And so he will say, you know, by remembering the words of Zechariah, when Jesus will be found riding on a young donkey. What is so different about Jesus? If your child would ask you the same question of someone who's close to you would ask, what is so special about Palm Sunday? What would be our answer be? I think the first thing when we look at this particular passage, a couple of things that comes to our mind. You know, how did Jesus come? His mode of transportation was a very interesting mode of transportation. He was a humble king. Humble. Because riding on a donkey means the person, the king, is coming to have peace with his people. When a king comes in a horse, it means he is coming after a battle, after a victorious battle. He's a conquering king. But this king is coming on a donkey. In other words, he wants to have peace. So Jesus is a humble king. He's a king who doesn't want to, you know, conquer us and make us subjects. But this king is a different king. He said, I came not to be served, but to serve and to be a ransom for many. That is the king, Lord Jesus. Kings will always, you know, eat with people who are so powerful. The officials, the commanders. But this king ate with tax collectors, my friend. He's a different king altogether. He went to the house of sinners. He mingled with a crowd who were considered outcasts. People you don't associate with. He was healing the blind. Healing the lepers. He's a different king altogether. He's a king who wants to give us peace. He's a king of peace. As I said, you know, the kings of those days come as conquering people because he wanted to have peace. What kind of peace? That you and I can have peace with God. That's the difference about this Jesus. He wants to reconcile us with God. And that is the king of peace. What is his mission? Right? His mission is not to conquer. His mission is not to make us subjects, my friend. Kings, if you realize, they want power. They want wealth. They want popularity. You know, sometimes, you know, I YouTube and look at, you know, some of the kings in these times, you know, how they are served, the kind of food they eat. You know, and when I compare with the life of Jesus, it's totally different, my friend. Today's king, they want power. They want to be recognized. They want popularity. But Jesus' mission was totally different. Right? His mission was to give eternal life for us. It's a different king. And I believe the father would have explained to the child, you know, he's different from other kings. His mission is to save us, to love us, so that each and every one of us can be part of his kingdom. And I believe the child will, you know, probably trying to understand and say, you know, where is his kingdom? Right? We thought that someone else in the kingdom now, who's in rule now, the father would say, you know, his kingdom is a different kingdom altogether. Because if you realize, I think, people expected Jesus to come and to overthrow the Roman Empire. They wanted the Messiah that Isaiah was talking about, to bring everything under his control, that they will be free and free at last. That was their kind of thinking. But Jesus' kingdom is a different kingdom, you know, to the early believers or to the early Jews. And you know, when you talk to our kids about kingdom, they don't understand because they're used to different kind of political system here. But to the Jews, it's a very common thing. It's something that is spoken in their homes almost every day because they were always expecting, waiting for the kingdom to come, the Messiah to come. It was always an expectation. They were looking for signs, you know, whether the Messiah will be with us. He will save us. Every Passover, that was the expectation. Every Passover, will the Messiah come? It's a very common thing in those days. And so his kingdom is a different kingdom. You know, let me tell you, the people understood the kingdom of Christ differently. They thought he will overthrow. Jesus' kingdom is also a different kingdom altogether, my friend. You can really do a study on the kingdom of God, but I just want to share two things. The kingdom of God is present, and the kingdom of God is yet future. They thought of a different kingdom altogether. These are the things, you know, his kingdom, you know, he will do in this kingdom. But Jesus' kingdom was different. You know, sometimes, even in our Christian walk, our expectations of the kingdom of God is different. There's always power. There's always victory. There's always yes. But the kingdom of God, Jesus said, you know, if you look at Luke chapter 17, verse 21, and like many other verses, you know, Romans chapter 14, verse 7, it's Jesus, it's within you. When Christ comes into our life, when the rule of God is seen in our life, when our lives are visible to show that Jesus is in our life, the kingdom of God has already come in us, my friend. We don't see a different kingdom altogether when Jesus is in our life. We belong to his kingdom. Every child of God who exercises faith in him belongs to the kingdom of God. That's a different kingdom. Probably the child will be just scratching the head, you know, trying to understand. Let me tell you, that's what, you know, many Christians, you know, not only many years, but even today, you know, that's how they think about it. Jesus said in Romans chapter 14, verse 17, the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. In other words, he's talking about the spiritual kingdom, my friend. It's about a kingdom that serves and sustains our life, to live a life of righteousness, to live a life that draws close to God. That is the kingdom of God. Today we need to ask ourselves, do I have the kingdom of God in me? Is Jesus alive in me? Do I people see the excitement and the joy of God's kingdom in my life? And that's what Jesus was saying. Reading John Calvin said these wonderful words. He said, it is the task of the church to make the invisible kingdom visible. It is a task of the church to make the invisible kingdom visible. People need to see the kingdom of God in our lives, my friend. That's what Jesus was saying. The kingdom of God is present. It's in you. Is it visible today? Secondly, when you look at the word, you know, the kingdom of God is also future. There are so many things that speaks about it, right? I think all of us are very familiar. Yes, it's future. Jesus is coming back. His kingdom will be totally different when he comes and establish. We're just tasting, you know, that we're just having appetizers of the kingdom of God. But when he comes, right, he comes and he will establish his kingdom. Thank God, you know, even the Alliance Church also believes in the kingdom of God, because one of the four pillars of the Alliance Church is the coming king, right? Christ is the coming king. And A.B. Simpson believed in the literal coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. He will come and establish his kingdom where there will be joy, happiness, no pain, no hunger. A kingdom the world have never experienced before. That's the kingdom, my friend. It's yet to come. And I think we should spend some time studying about the kingdom of God, you know, the things that the Bible speaks about, the birth pains that happens before the kingdom of God is established, before the parousia, the second coming of God, happens in the clouds, my friend, when the saints will be united with Christ. I believe the Father would have actually tried to explain. Maybe the child doesn't really understand, but then the child hears, wow, it's going to be a wonderful kingdom. Wow, it looks like, you know, it's going to be a wonderful time. And let me close with this. The child would definitely ask, can we be part of that celebration? Can we be part of the kingdom? Can we go back to the city again? I too want to join the celebration. I too want to wave, you know, my palm leaves and shout, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the Son of David, Hosanna in the highest. I think that's what Jesus wanted us. You know, Jesus came into the city, but you know, the question we need to ask is, did Jesus come into their lives? Christ invaded our lives, my friend. Probably they saw Jesus differently. That's why they said, crucify me, crucify him. How can we be part of the kingdom? I think I'm speaking to Christians today. We're born again, baptized, even helping people to grow in the Lord Jesus Christ. But it's important for us to be reminded, right? It's only when I confess Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Not only he's my Savior, that's wonderful, but whether he's my Lord, who's the master of my life, the one who leads me. Let's not stop with Savior, but let's continue to have Christ as the Lord of our life. Numerous passages we see how to be part of the kingdom of God. Nicodemus comes to Jesus, a learned man, a leader of, you know, the synagogue, a rabbi, well-learned man. Can you imagine? He comes to Jesus and says, you know, I want to be part of this kingdom. And Jesus said, you need to be born of the water and spirit. And he's confused. He says, you know, I've learned so many things, I don't know. And Jesus speaks to him. Yes, many times we know. But are we part of the kingdom? Was there a time in your life where you said, Lord, come into my life. Be my king, O God. Be the king of my life. No, I want to close with a story. Before that, I think if you say, you know, Jesus says, blessed is the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. In other words, blessed are those who have the poverty of spiritual poverty, where they say, Lord, I am really in need of you. I know we live in a very postmodern society. We have all our needs met, right? We can buy because of the many blessings that God has given to us. But it's about spiritual poverty. Do we see there's a spiritual vacuum in our life? It's only Jesus. Let me close with this story. Which I, you know, read, and it's very interesting. You know, this donkey that was carrying Jesus. I put a colt and also a donkey because Matthew speaks differently. The other Gospels speak differently. I don't want to contradict, you know, many of them, so I just put two of them, the mother there and the child there. So the next day after the Palm Sunday, just imagine the colt was the one who carried Jesus. Was so proud, right? The God would have said, you know, people have recognized me. Remember yesterday? I was at the streets and just people were just welcoming. Wow, it was so nice to walk. The ground was wonderful, it was smooth because they were throwing their garments, expensive ones. Palm leaves, I could even bite them. So nice. It was a wonderful journey. And so let me just walk and see, you know, people still recognize me. So the colt goes to the town. And the colt sees a couple of people by the well. You know, it will show itself to them. And they didn't notice. So the colt speaks to the people around and say, you know, I'm the one who came yesterday. I was the one who was just passing by. They push it aside. So upset, the colt, you know, says, okay, it goes to another group of people in the town. Maybe these people will recognize me because I was around there. I was just walking around there. And that group did not also recognize. They were saying, you know, just get out of this place. The colt is so upset. Can you imagine? It is not even 24 hours. And they failed to recognize me. They were saying, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And these people, are they so blind? They can't recognize that I'm the one who carried Jesus? You know, it finally, you know, it goes back home sad and talks to the mother. Says, you know, Mom, and I went, and people did not recognize me. Mom was full of wisdom, said, you know why? Because Jesus is not there. Jesus is not there. Yesterday you had Jesus with you. But today, do you still have Jesus with you? My friends, I think we need to ask ourselves, you know, yesterday, we said, Lord, come into my life. Be the ruler of my life, O God. Sit on me, Lord. I'm so happy. But today we need to ask ourselves, is Jesus still with us? If Jesus is still with us, we'll be excited. We'll be excited. Let's pray. Can you hear the sound that came on Palm Sunday? Can you hear people shouting, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Can you imagine people are just running to that particular area because they want to see who is this man? Who is this? Someone would ask you, who is this man? What would be our Christian response, my friend? We know Jesus. He's a great teacher. He did wonderful things. And in the towns, people speak about him. Yes, we know. But who is this man to you? Father, on this Palm Sunday, O God, we have heard the name of Jesus many times, but help us to know who is Jesus in our lives, O God. Without you, our lives are empty, Father. With you, we know everything is safe and secured in your presence. Help us, Lord, to carry you. Help us, Lord, to always ensure that we have Jesus in our lives. We thank you, we love you. In Jesus' name we pray.